Welcome to the Alex Kennedy Podcast, which is brought to you by BasketballNews.com. The NBA trade deadline is Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. There's plenty of rumors out there, and to help me make sense of it all, I am joined by Hoops Hype's Michael Scotto. We're going to break down all of the notable players that could be on the move and which teams you should be keeping an eye on. Michael, thanks for joining me. How are you?
Oh, my pleasure, Alex. Thanks for having me on.
I appreciate it. You've been doing fantastic work recently. I want to shout you out and the great work you've been doing over at Hoops Hype. Not only breaking news, but some fantastic interviews recently. It's been an awesome couple of months for you. Like the Michael Beasley story, I just got to praise the work you're doing, man, because it's fantastic. And if anyone's not following you on Twitter at Mike A. Scotto, they absolutely should be. So just want to get that out of the way first. I've been very impressed with your work recently. And I mean, you've been breaking a lot of news too, as far as what's going to happen with the trade deadline coming up here. So I figured you're the perfect person to bring on to kind of talk about all the notable players and teams around the league right now that have come up in recent rumors. So I want to start with some general questions about the trade deadline, and then we'll kind of get into some specific situations. Starting off, which teams have been the most active in terms of trade talks based on what you're hearing?
Well, first off, thanks, Alex. I appreciate the kind words. I would say, in terms of being active, I think you got to look as much at the sellers on the market as anything. So for me, Indiana, I would say, is certainly a team that is, you know, looking to see what they can get for Miles Turner and Domantas Sabonis. You know, the Caris LeVert trade was pretty much on par with what they were hoping to get in an expiring contract, a first round pick. If they could have gotten another first round pick, that would have been great, but they get 2 seconds. In the NBA world, that kind of equates. I think also when you're looking at in the Western Conference, I would say Houston with Eric Gordon, Daniel Tice, I think, is a team to keep an eye on. Also, I would say I think it's almost like this every year, but the Sacramento Kings certainly need to be mentioned as a team that's active more, of course, from the seller side. You know, pretty much that whole team is available. I know that there's been some talks about, you know, whether De'Aaron Fox and Tyrese Haliburton are available or not, but ultimately, if the right guy came along, they'd certainly listen. Other than that, I would say the Pelicans, I also think, are active. I had reported on Hoops Hype about them being a team that's looking to be a buyer. They've got plenty of tradable assets in the contract to Josh Hart. They've got picks. They also have Nikhil Alexander Walker and Jackson Hayes as some young guys that could intrigue some teams. And just going back to the East, I would say Toronto's been active in terms of trying to upgrade their team. I think also you would have to look at the Wizards, certainly, because Bradley Beal has kind of made it known that he would like to get some help around them. And I think that certainly when they're looking at guys like Domantas Sabonis and Jeremy Grant, that is to appease him as he's becoming a free agent. It's interesting now that, you know, he hasn't been named an all-star, but still a guy that obviously is going to be coveted on the free agent market this year and is going to earn a pretty penny. So that's a very broad scope of the trade market so far.
It feels like there's a lot of buyers and not a ton of sellers. And of the sellers, there's not a ton of big name players or, you know, key players that could be available. Like, you know, it seems like, and that's, I know Mark Stein earlier tweeted something about, you know, that's one of the reasons why they were able to get so much for Caris LeVert in Indiana, because there's so few sellers and notable players that are kind of available, which is interesting. So I do want to ask you, before we get into some specific situations, who do you think is the biggest name that gets traded?
You know, it's funny. Earlier, I've done other pods, and I thought the Caris LeVert would be the main guy that gets moved. I think now you have to look at Indiana if one of the two bigs is going to get moved, Miles Turner or Domantas Sabonis. You know, we kind of saw this last year with the Orlando Magic, where they make one trade and then, you know, kind of ears raises up around the league like a German Shepherd. And I think for Indiana, they're in an interesting place there. I do think, you know, you could see one of those two guys getting moved. As far as the biggest name, I think ultimately that's who you got to go with. I don't think if like Sacramento moved any of their guys that would be considered, as big of a name. Portland with CJ McCollum, I think certainly they're getting, you know, palpable interest there around him. I just don't know if they have to move him yet. They could wait until the offseason as they continue to figure out what they're going to reshape that roster like around Damian Lillard. But I think when you're talking about big names, just scrolling through my notes, looking, I would say that those are most likely the biggest names in terms of realistic targets, unless somebody kind of comes out of the water here. But I would say those guys right now, Alex.
Yeah, those were the three players that I had written down here in my notes too, just as far as, you know, all the rumors that we're hearing. I think CJ was someone that hadn't really been talked about a whole lot. I mean, there were trade rumors earlier in the year, but as far as like a possibility of being moved before the deadline until like last week, now he's come up a few times. I know the Pelicans apparently have shown interest in him. There've been a few teams that have been linked to him, but like you said, there's really no rush to make a trade. But I like the Orlando comparison because Indiana and Portland have both made trades already. They were both, you know, trades that signify a rebuild. They're moving off veteran players. So yeah, I think if you're other teams, I'm sure they're kind of circling like vultures right now, trying to get Sabonis, Turner, McCollum. So those are teams that are interesting to me. And then you mentioned Sacramento. What do you make of this De'Aaron Fox situation? Because at first we heard the Athletic report that they want to build around Fox and they like the idea of having Fox and Halliburton moving forward. Mark Stein yesterday wrote, or 2 days ago, wrote that other teams aren't buying that. They think that Fox is available and that he could be moved before the deadline. I think the Kings are so interesting because they do have Fox, Rashawn Holmes, Harrison Barnes, Buddy Hield, Marvin Bagley. I mean, a lot of players that could be on the move. But when you look at the Fox situation, do you think he could be moved potentially, or is that just kind of other teams hoping that he could be available?
I think, first of all, for any team, like for Sacramento to say that De'Aaron Fox is just not available, I don't buy it, quite frankly. And I know a lot of other executives don't either. They're not good enough for that to be the case, quite frankly. And they have, you know, Davion Mitchell, Tyrese Halliburton. You could theoretically move Fox and replace him in the starting lineup with those young guys. You know, Fox is on a pretty high contract. I think that certainly it would take a certain caliber of a return for him. You know, they're not just going to give him away. But for example, if Philadelphia was more inclined to take the De'Aaron Fox in a Ben Simmons trade, I don't think we'd be even having this conversation, quite frankly. I think they would have did that in a second, if we're being blunt. So, you know, and you touch on the other guys like Harrison Barnes or Sean Holmes. Those are nice, you know, role players the team can add. But like Fox obviously would be the big name, quote unquote, bigger fish there. And, you know, I also say one other thing. You know, you were asking me before about guys that maybe could get moved, a big name, and who was selling and buying as far as a team that's active. You know, Jeremy Grant, it's like he was kind of the hot name for a while, and that's kind of cooled off a little bit. I think some teams are a little concerned about having to pay him like the money that he's reportedly seeking, you know, close to like a, you know, $30 million a year in an extension. I think it's been interesting to see how that market has kind of shifted a little bit on the trade side. And with Detroit originally trying to get something around 2 first round picks, or the equivalent of that, whether it's a first round pick and a nice young player in a deal for him. So I think that's also a situation worth monitoring as well over the next few days.
Yeah, it's interesting because last year Grant was popping up in rumors too. And then they basically just decided, hey, none of these offers are good enough, so we're going to hold on to them. And then sure enough, last offseason, more rumors pop up and we've continued to see that. But it does sound more and more like they could just push this thing back another year again and say, we're either going to keep him and continue to try to build around him, or push this decision off to the offseason or next year's trade deadline to make a move. They really seem like they're in no rush, especially I know there's a report, I think a week ago from The Athletic, that they actually haven't received any offers yet. They've had a lot of conversations, but there's no official offers for Grant, apparently. That was like as of a week ago, which is interesting to me. So I'm curious, you know, do you think we're going to see Grant stay in Detroit past the deadline? I mean, obviously anything can happen. It's possible one of these teams increase their offer to meet the asking price, but do you think he'll stay in Detroit?
It seems like it's trending more towards Jeremy Grant staying in Detroit right now, which kind of surprises me because to me, he's an older guy. You know, I think of like when the Brooklyn Nets were rebuilding and they moved off guys that were in their late 20s, like Thaddeus Young, Bojan Bogdanovic. And you would think Detroit would do the same thing with a guy like Jeremy Grant. Nice player. You know, he's been, you know, a guy that's been a go-to guy for them, but they're a bad team. And I think that you should sell off that asset. You know, you got him in free agency, and if you could flip him for multiple picks, you know, I think you should certainly do that. And there was all talk last year about I forget for sure, but it might've been Boston last year. They were like, oh, did they make a King's ransom offer or multiple picks or something? It's like, well, if you had that on the table, you should have did that, quite frankly. You know, so I always wonder sometimes the truth in that stuff. But for me, I think right now it's trending surprisingly that he stays. You know, we certainly have days before the trade deadline, anything can change, but interesting to me.
You mentioned Ben Simmons briefly, and I feel like people are kind of sticking to Ben Simmons talk. It's happened, you know, for months now. We've been talking about a possible trade, and the whole situation, it's been going on for a long time. But I mean, based on what's coming out of Philly and what Daryl Morey said publicly, he could see this thing stretching out for another year or two, even if that's what it takes to get the right offer. Who knows if he's just saying that? Apparently, Sacramento backed out and they're not willing to negotiate anymore. That could be them just trying to, you know, get some leverage. You always hear that kind of stuff. I mean, we've also heard Brooklyn now as a, you know, possible James Harden type thing, which I know Steve Nash came out today and said that there's no truth to that. They're not going to trade James Harden. But what do you make of this Ben Simmons situation? And what are some teams, I know like Toronto and Atlanta have even come up as possible destinations that could make sense. What are some teams to watch in the Simmons sweepstakes? And what do you think is going to happen with this whole thing?
That's all well and good about any other team being in the Ben Simmons trade sweepstakes beside the Brooklyn Nets. But the bottom line, Alex, is that Daryl Morey has James Harden has been the apple of Daryl Morey's eyes for years since he left Houston and went to Philadelphia. And so they did try to trade for him when he was leaving Philadelphia. It didn't get done then. Now, a couple things when I look at the situation for Philadelphia, they absolutely are going to want to try to get a deal done for James Harden before the deadline. Because if you have to do a sign and trade for him after the season, you're going to get hard capped. They don't want that. And also, if you wait till the offseason, Tobias Harris would have to be pretty much off your books somehow. And you have to sell off him to sign him outright as a free agent. They don't have the cap space to do that. So you have to work with Brooklyn. And you know that Sean Marks is going to try to milk Daryl Morey like a cow to get as many assets as he can back if it came to that doomsday scenario for the Nets, which, you know, they went into that big three thinking that they could be a title contender for years to come. Kevin Durant has publicly said, or maybe it's through a report, excuse me. But, you know, Durant certainly wants like James Harden here. Let's not get it twisted.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of it, you know, has come down obviously to a frustration with Kyrie not being able to play in home games. But when those three are healthy, you know, the frustrating thing is it's only been 16 games.
That's curious, crazy, by the way.
It's really disheartening as an NBA fan. Like, you know, like the Warriors, you think of the years they had the dynasty and how many years they were together. And I said this last year privately to people, when they didn't win last year and they didn't beat the Bucks, and Kyrie, you know, landed on Giannis's foot and then Harden had the hamstring injuries. You know, everybody always talked about, oh, they'll be back. And, you know, I never buy that. You can never take a dynasty for granted. Look what happened with Oklahoma. And Durant should know that. Look what happened in Oklahoma City with Harden and Russell Westbrook and Serge Ibaka. That didn't live up to expectations. And one day I'm sure there's going to be a documentary on that. So, yeah, for me with Ben Simmons, if I'm Daryl Morey and I even have a sense of any shot, you know, that James Harden is a possibility, I'm holding out and waiting because that's the guy he's been longing for since he got there.
So do you think there's any, I agree with you, it makes way more sense to try to acquire Harden now than have to wait. Do you think there's any chance that Brooklyn makes a Harden deal before a deadline, despite what Steve Nash said?
I don't see Brooklyn trading James Harden unless behind the scenes James Harden goes to ownership and management and says, I want out.
Yeah.
And by all accounts, that has not happened. So I don't think with that in mind, he will be moved unless that changes.
Yeah. Yeah. You never know. One player that's come up recently is John Collins. He's another, you know, star level player that has been mentioned. But I believe one of the latest reports from Mark Stein is that it's trending toward him staying in Atlanta past the deadline. They might still have to move him in the offseason, but it seems like he'll be staying with the Hawks. But what do you make of that Collins situation and kind of what's happened as far as that relationship? And when you look at Atlanta, you know, obviously they make the Cam Reddish trade. I know you had a report about Danilo Gallinari drawing some interest from teams. What do you make of this Atlanta team and kind of what they could be looking to do at the deadline?
Well, I think for Atlanta, first off, they've certainly been hot of late as a team. I think this is the Atlanta Hawks team that we thought we were going to see coming into the year. So that's kind of quelled a little bit of the trade talk there. You know, Cam Reddish was a guy that, you know, they wanted to get, they got a first round pick for. They were fine with moving him. There was a log jam at that position. You know, when it comes to Gallinari, I think it comes down to whether they have the appetite for keeping him next season and paying him what he's owed. You know, eventually the biggest thing for the Hawks is luxury tax implications. They've got to pay DeAndre Hunter eventually on an extension. And I think they're looking a little towards the future. You know, Onyeka Okongwu has been good there. So I think that they view him as a nice, younger, cheaper option that they can build with for the future. When it comes to John Collins, I never bought a ton of the trade talk with John Collins unless it was for a marquee star. You know, Ben Simmons, that I could have seen in some regards because he's an all-star. You know what I mean? Now, Atlanta didn't want to take Tobias Harris in those talks, as I had, you know, reported on Hoopsite. They had a brief discussion where John Collins, Bogdan Bogdanovic, and Danilo Gallinari would have been going to Philly for Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris, you know, as the majority framework, but Atlanta didn't want to do that. So I think ultimately, I agree with Mark Stein, where it seems like you would think John Collins is staying, given the recent success that Atlanta has had. And I think a lot of, I will say this, a lot of teams around the league love John Collins and his versatility. The fact that he can shoot the three and is a highly efficient scorer, you know, speaks to teams. I think he's a better rebounder than he's been a little bit this year. And on other teams, those numbers would go up and he'd be more of a focal point in the offense. But for now, I think he stays unless Atlanta can get an all-star caliber guy in return.
We talked about the Pacers briefly. Sabonis and Turner, obviously the two that people are kind of circling. They want to see what happens with those two. You know, could be two of the biggest players that are moved, as we talked about. Who are some teams that are being linked to Miles Turner and to Sabonis? And, you know, what's the likelihood that one or both of those guys get moved?
You know, when it comes to Miles Turner, I mean, it depends because certain teams were more interested before he got hurt than others fell back. I always thought that the Charlotte Hornets would make a great fit for Miles Turner. They need his shot blocking ability, and he'd be a really good pick and roll guy, pick and pop guy with LaMelo. I think they could certainly use him. I just don't know if they have the assets that Indiana is looking for. You know, really more for a guy like Sabonis, I would say, I mean, obviously Washington, but I think, you know, he's the type of guy that I could see a dark horse team kind of coming out of nowhere and going all in. Like, I don't want to like throw teams out there.
Maybe like a Sacramento. I think they've been mentioned as a possibility.
I thought for Sacramento, they had all the assets to get him. You know, reported they want like a Nikola Vucevic type of package. They've got the assets to get that done. And to me, they have the desperation factor of a team that's one, trying not to miss the playoffs again and set the record. But also they just need, a high caliber big. They haven't had a guy like, if they acquired Domantas Sabonis, they haven't had a guy like that since Chris Webber, an all-star big like that, really, that could really make a difference for them at that position. So, yeah, I just think it comes down to Indiana trying to squeeze teams just like Orlando did with Nikola Vucevic a year ago. I think it's really the same scenario as I outlined earlier.
You talked about the Toronto Raptors. For Hoopsite, you wrote an article about how the Raptors are pursuing a number of centers. They've shown interest in Jakob Poeltl, Miles Turner, Robert Williams, Nicholas Claxton, Jusuf Nurkic. Now, you know, some of those players are more available than others, obviously, but it's interesting that Toronto is looking for, you know, a big man. Do you think we're going to see them pull off a move? Because it seems like they're kind of being a buyer right now. They've been linked to a number of different veteran players. You know, what are you expecting from the Raptors?
I would certainly categorize the Toronto Raptors as buyers. I really am keeping my eye with them on Jakob Poeltl because I think ultimately he's a guy that would help them in terms of his ability defensively. Doesn't need the ball a ton. He would mesh well with that team. And they had him before. They knew the type of guy he could be once he departed from there. And I think that if they can figure out kind of what type of first round pick San Antonio would want. You know, I'm sure Toronto's going to want to put some protections on it, but if they can maybe find a middle ground there, they've got some young pieces that maybe they can add to it as well. I think, to me, they're a really interesting contender for him. I know, I think it was Mark Stein that mentioned Chicago for them. Sure, I think a team like Chicago could use Jakupoto as a backup, but I don't think they have as much of the assets and the need as Toronto does. You know, we're starting to see a little bit more now, teams trying to get more of a traditional center. And that's kind of what Jakob would remind me of in that regard.
The Wizards, as we mentioned, are interesting too. Not only the Bradley Beal situation, and I mean, everyone's obviously keeping an eye on that to see if he could become available or if he's going to leave in the offseason, but Montrezl Harrell, Thomas Bryant, Spencer Dinwiddie, who it seems like there's some behind the scenes drama there. I know Kevin O'Connor reported that, you know, players don't really want him there anymore. Dinwiddie even came out and said that his leadership wasn't welcomed, which I thought was a very interesting quote. There's definitely tension there. What do you make of this Wizards situation? And do you think they could be a team that really blows it up in the next few days?
I'd love to know what happened from the start of the season to now, because the Wizards in the beginning of the year were rolling. And, you know, I just think that it's been a little surprising to see how much they've kind of spiraled a little bit behind the scenes. I think the issue is you've got a lot of similar guys. You now have three centers in Daniel Gafford, Thomas Bryant, and Montrezl Harrell. They're a little loaded at the front court, also with Kyle Kuzma. I think Kyle Kuzma's actually been pretty good for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you look at the backcourt, Bradley Beal wanted Spencer Dinwiddie. And
right.
It hasn't come to fruition. And now, you know, you hear these reports about, you know, like behind the scenes in the locker room. And when Spence had that video interview, you know, where he was saying that his leadership wasn't welcomed. My reaction was, damn, okay. I mean, we're just going to put it out there. So, you know, I think Spencer is still working his way back from his injury. And it's been a little bit frustrating for him in that regard. But boy, to me, it's like, I don't know if Jeremy Grant would move the needle for them, but obviously if they got Domantas Sabonis, I really think that would move the needle for him. And if I'm Washington, Denny Advia, Rui Hachimura picks, and then fill the salary, whether you got to use one of the centers or KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, have at it. I'd do it.
Yeah, it's so interesting because I do think they're looking to, you know, make some kind of splashy move that could potentially keep Bradley Beal happy this offseason. Dinwiddie may be the hardest player to gauge as far as his trade value. We did a series of articles where we examined possible trades for different players that have popped up in rumors. And you look at Dinwiddie, you know, a year or two ago, he was someone that was looked at as this amazing asset. Now he's about to be 29 years old. He's shooting 37% from the field and 31% from three. Obviously, he hasn't been the same player since the injury. He has the big contract. You know, he went from a really interesting asset to now it's going to be pretty hard for Washington to move him and get something significant back for him, I think, when you kind of look at different situations around the league that make sense. So I'm curious to see what Washington does because they have a number of players that have been popping up in rumors. It seems like they're considering everything. They're one of those teams that could be a buyer or a seller, or they could make, you know, buyer type move and some seller type moves. So I'm really curious to see what they do. But
if they don't make a move at all, I would be like,
yeah.
What did we do this for like a month?
Right. Yeah. Well said. Yeah. I think they're definitely gonna do something. So I'm curious to see what that is. One player that has been mentioned a lot too is Eric Gordon. I think he's very interesting because he's been shooting the ball extremely well, you know, career highs from the field and from three. He's actually been playing really good defense too, which has been really impressive. He's been a great leader for this young Rockets team. And I think, I was talking to, some people earlier, in Houston, and they were basically saying that, you know, they're basically having to gauge, is he more valuable to us as a trade chip that can bring in some assets, or is he more valuable helping with the rebuild and leading the young guys and kind of teaching them professionalism and all that? Like, or do you wait till the offseason and hope that offers improve? That's kind of what it comes down to. I think a lot of stuff that's being put out there is to try to help their leverage and get more before the deadline. But what do you think is going to happen with Eric Gordon?
I think anytime you got a guy that's 33 that's injury prone, you better move him while the stock is high. And I don't think Eric Gordon's stock is going to get much hotter than it is right now heading into the offseason. That's my personal opinion. Could Eric help them with the rebuild? Like, sure, but not for long. And I say that because, you know, again, you don't know. He's been injury prone the past few years. Eric Gordon, you know, Alex, Eric Gordon was talked about for the past few years as an albatross contract and now is seen as an asset because of the money that he has coming up. It's not all guaranteed on his contract. You've got to look ahead. It makes him more desirable. And now, you know, with LeVert being off the free off the trade market, Eric Gordon's probably the next best guard that's out there, I think, ahead of Buddy Hield for an immediate upgrade now. And so with that in mind, I would look for Houston to move him. I reported that they wanted at least a first round pick. So now I think they can get that. They might have to take some salary back. But, you know, evidently they don't want to do that. I really just don't see a scenario where it would benefit them to keep him past the deadline. I think you're going to get the most value now, and you might as well try to cash in those chips while you can if you're Houston. He's not going to make a difference in the ultimate standings within the next few years anyway. Could he be – like, you can sign guys that are cheaper veteran mentors while cashing in Eric Gordon now and getting a first-round – if they could get a protected first-round pick for him, I would say that's a win for the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, well said. There was a report earlier. I want to say it was from Matt Moore or someone, but I think they said that Houston is telling teams that they have at least two offers right now of a first round pick for Gordon. And if that's true and they're not jumping at it, I agree with you. It seems pretty foolish.
And Alex, I also wouldn't mind a date with like Abigail Ratchford too, but you know,
you have two dates on the table, two dates scheduled with her coming up. I'm curious. So, we've heard the Phoenix Suns, the New Orleans Pelicans. There's been a few teams that have been linked to Eric Gordon. The Cavaliers are being talked about, but now obviously after the Caris LeVert move, it seems like that's off the table. Are there any other teams that have been mentioned for Gordon? And, you know, what team do you think makes the most sense as a landing spot for him?
You know, Cleveland was a team that did a lot of due diligence on Eric Gordon. I certainly thought that if they couldn't get LeVert, I thought maybe they could circle back on that, even though Cleveland wasn't inclined to give up the first round pick for him as they did with Caris LeVert. I'm curious if a team like Utah kind of comes out and goes for a guy like Gordon. You know, Utah, in a similar position to Cleveland, has a first round pick, has a guy on an expiring contract, and is looking for an immediate upgrade now. Usually, you know, if you just kind of connect the dots, I would think that that would make sense for them. You know, Utah had certainly looked at Harrison Barnes still somewhat, but without being able to flip Ingles now, I don't think they're going to move Bogdanovich, Bojan Bogdanovich, that is. So to me, I would think a team, and any team that's looking to get off a first round pick of any kind, some may say that could be a little much for Gordon given his injury history, but if you're a team like Utah that's kind of really inclined to get over the hump where they've been with this core, I could see it.
One last thing on Utah before we move on here. I have one or two more questions. Brian Windhorst and Tim McMahon came out on their podcast, the Hoop Collective podcast, and said that there's drama brewing again between Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, that there's passive aggressiveness and that basically there's things are not great behind the scenes. I know that had been the case a while ago, and apparently that's popped back up. And Windhorst basically said, if this was the Knicks or the Nets or a big market team, we'd be talking about it on First Take, and it'd be the, one of the biggest stories in the league because you have two all-stars clashing. But because it's Utah, no one's really talking about it. Do you make anything of that, or do you think, you know, it's just another kind of phase where, or another like media cycle where it's popping up and then it's going to go away again? Or do you think we could actually see them break up this core at some point?
I paid no attention really to it this season with Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, any reporting of a spat between them, because it's already happened before and been well documented. And I think really it's going to be interesting to see what happens this playoff run for the Utah Jazz. I think after this playoff run, you can say to yourself, okay, we've had a number of runs here where Donovan Mitchell has been more than an all-star. He's been kind of a star in the playoffs, you know, and Rudy Gobert has been limited a little bit, and defenses, teams are able to better expose Utah in the playoffs. So I think after the season, depending on where they finish, then maybe you could start to ponder whether there could be a change of the guard with Utah in terms of their core.
Now, we haven't talked about the Lakers yet. I have to ask about them, or I'm going to have a lot of people angry in my mentions here. Obviously, things are really ugly. Russell Westbrook's struggling. He's getting benched. The team is not living up to expectations. Mm-hmm. What can they do? Do they have any kind of options? Any kind? I mean, they don't have tons of assets. What are Lakers going to do?
I think, first of all, it is what it is. I popped in on Lakers spaces. Russell Westbrook, I don't really see getting traded right now, unless they're taking back a contract that is really not ideal. I think Russell Westbrook's going to end up staying. And then I look at, you asked me what they can do. Well, they've dangled Talen Horton-Tucker, Kendrick Nunn, who hasn't played yet this year, which has really hurt them both for his trade value and his just helping the team in general. So yeah. You've got THT, Kendrick Nunn, and a future first round pick that's been dangled out there, and we're still here. So something could change before the deadline, but that's what they have to dangle out there on the market is trade bait. So we'll see what that nets. But I don't think it's good enough to get Jeremy Grant. And I don't know. I don't really see like another star coming there for that type of stuff. So I think really you got to keep an eye on the Lakers, maybe more for the buyout market, and see them who they can get after. And if they get rid of some guys on the back end of that roster to open up spots.
Great transition. Cause my last question for you was about the buyout market. Are there any players that you think could become available? John Wall has been talked about, but it sounds like he's not going to leave any of that money on the table as he should. You know, I think he should get every penny of that. I don't blame him for saying, right. I don't blame him for saying, hey, pay me every single penny. Thaddeus Young has been talked about, I think, in San Antonio. He came on my podcast earlier this year and talked about his frustration with the role there. And just, you know, he understands they have to play the young guys, but I know he wants to compete, and you know, I know teams like Phoenix have been linked to him a bit. So who are some buyout candidates that could pop up? Obviously, we'll see what happens at the trade deadline first, but are there anyone that you kind of have circled?
In my opinion, I think you should look at like the Sacramento Kings with Tristan Thompson, because he hasn't played a ton and he'd be a good veteran guy with championship experience and a great rebounder to look at teams. What I would say on the buyout market is, circle back with me after the trade deadline, because I think there's a lot of candidates out there. People have talked about them, but they've gotten some minutes now, and I could see them potentially being moved. So, but with that said, the one guy that stuck out to me when I thought about your question was Tristan Thompson as a guy that I would keep an eye on for the Sacramento Kings.
That's a good one. Maybe Paul Millsap too, just because they've already, you know, put his name out there as trade bait, and they've said they want a shooter and stuff like that. But if he doesn't get moved, I could see them potentially moving on from him and letting him go to a better situation.
You know, Alex, I got to say real quick on Paul Millsap, I was very surprised that James Johnson has been playing ahead of Paul Millsap this year in Brooklyn. And I thought when Paul came there that, boy, even though he's a little older, I thought Paul could give them a good 15 minutes a game off the bench. I'm very surprised that it hasn't worked out. And I think he's certainly been disappointed with that. So that's a good point by you. You know, sometimes you forget the things that are right in front of you, somebody that's here in Brooklyn. But, you know, it's funny. He, you know, it's not really around. So, yeah, kind of slipped my mind. But excellent call on you with him. It'll be interesting to see if they can find something for him, you know, another marginal back end guy for him or something by the end of Thursday.
Yeah, we shall see. Are there any other players or teams that we haven't mentioned that, you know, you feel like we should, that you're hearing things about or that we should be keeping an eye on? I know we covered a lot, but is there anyone that we missed that you think we should mention?
You know, I guess we didn't talk a ton about the Celtics. I really think Dennis Schroeder is going to get moved before Thursday for them to continue to save on a luxury tax. And they don't really have a ton to pay him to bring him back. He's played decently well this year for them. So I would look for that. That would be the one thing that stuck out to me.
That's a good one. Everyone, make sure you're following Mike on Twitter at Mike A. Scotto. Make sure you read all of his work at Hoopsite. Like I said, not only just the breaking news, but also a fantastic job on the long forms, the interviews. Make sure you listen to his podcast, the Hoopsite podcast. The new host is much better than the old host, by the way. I have to say that. It's a huge, huge upgrade. The old guy, he was awful. Hate his voice. you do a fantastic job with it. I'm glad that you took the reins and it's in good hands. That makes me happy. It was my baby for a long time. So I'm glad that you have it, but keep a great work, man. And make sure everyone's following Mike Escotto on Twitter.
Appreciate it, brother. I'm enjoying seeing you start the brand at basketballnews.com and with the guys, some of the guys I've worked with too, like Spencer Davies. So appreciate you having me on. It's always fun. You know, most people don't know we're up pretty late recording this past midnight on East Coast time. Technically now Monday morning, but a lot of fun as always, brother.
For sure. Should be a fun next 4 days. I'm sure everyone's going to be reading Hoops Hype nonstop. That rumors page comes in clutch during this time of year. So everyone, make sure you guys check out Hoops Hype, check out Hoops Hype podcast, and check out Mike's work. Does a fantastic job. And if you guys want to hear more episodes of this podcast, check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you listen to your podcasts. And until next time, thanks for listening.